We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
On the line with us right now is the great Super Bowl champion coach of the Baltimore Ravens and now a brilliant broadcaster on NFL Network and also the author of a brand new book. Brian Billick's on the line. Hi, Brian.
How we doing, guys? You know that Nick Foles is no longer with the Eagles, right?
No. Brian, in our mind, he will always be with the Eagles. I just got to talk. Where do you get the time to write a book? It's called The Q Factor, and it is about quarterbacks. Brian, you don't have enough to do. You wrote a book, too?
Yeah, it was a fun process. We began with that 2018 draft class because it was supposed to be the greatest class since 1983 because we wanted to look at the process. And that's what it really is. The 2018 class is a backdrop to looking at a process that how do you take Mitchell Trubisky 1 and Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson 10 and 12? How do you take Josh Rosen at 10 and Lamar Jackson at 32? How does that process work? And it was fascinating. It took 2 years to go through it, and it was a fun project.
Well, Brian, you're leading us right to our own debates here in Philadelphia right now. How hard is it when a quarterback is in college to evaluate how he will do in the NFL?
Very hard. I've had the number from a number of scouts and coaches saying that given the nature of the game in the college game right now, you can only take about 10 to 15% of the throws that they make and extrapolate them into the NFL. And you know, so that's not a lot of body of work, particularly if a guy's only, say, been 1 or 2 years, which can happen sometimes. You may only have 50, 60 throws to really say, okay, I see what can translate into the – and then it gets compounded by the fact that there's really three areas. Obviously, the physical skills, right, which typically a quarterback's going to have. The big one is, do they have the mental and emotional makeup to survive in the NFL? And is he going to the right place with the right system? Those are really the three key factors that when you look at. And when you take a quarterback in the first round, at best, it's 50-50.
All right. Well, I want to apply what you have at the Q Factor. It's very brilliant, detailed analysis of what it takes to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. I want to apply number two, the mental factor, Brian, to what we're dealing with right now with Carson Wentz. Because he went from one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL to statistically one of the absolute worst. And we're seeing it as a mental issue. What are you seeing when you see him perform right now?
You know, first off, we've seen him perform well. We've seen him handle it. And one of the hardest things, and we've been doing this for a while now, and we've talked many times, one of the hardest things to do is to separate a quarterback from what's going on around him. And I don't want to defer it totally away from Carson. Certainly he has to play better. But what's going on around him isn't real good right now. With that offensive line and you know who he has to throw to and the injuries, that's a tough combination. So to lay that all on Carson, I think, would be a mistake. And I keep hearing, okay, well, he's just got to get rid of the ball quicker. Well, you know, his game is extending a play, you know, in a Roethlisberger-esque type of that breaks down a defense. You start throwing the ball earlier. First, you have to have someone throw two. And secondly, if you're throwing the ball early just to get rid of it, rather than because that's the place to throw, and you're negating that strength of breaking down a defense by hanging on to the ball that just that instant of a second longer because you have the strength to do that, that's not his game. So I think right now it's more about what's going on around him than it is with Carson Wentz.
Well, I got to point out a specific play, Brian, because you called many, many plays in the NFL during your great career as a coach. And I had Doug on yesterday, and there was a play call in that game where he called the exact right play. He had Miles Sanders running down the sideline, open by 10 yards for a touchdown, and Carson threw way beyond him, at least 5-10 yards beyond him. And I said, what does that feel like for a coach when you dialed up the exact right play and the quarterback misfired like that? What is that like?
Well, and, but the flip side of that, and I've called far too many plays that in my career that were meticulously analyzed, thoroughly practiced, called at just the right time in the game, and it's incomplete. And I've had my share of just ill-conceived, what were you thinking? Why did you call it now? Where did the hell that come from? And someone makes a great play, and all of a sudden now you're the genius. So, you know, that's going to happen. I think with Carson, I think what's happening now because of the offensive line and the pressure he's under, he's probably rushing his mechanics, and that's not good. And that's where the inaccuracies, because your accuracy comes with your follow through. It's not arm strength. Anybody, any, you know, any golfer or tennis player, any batter will tell you it's the fluidity and the follow through of the swing that's key. And when you don't have that because of the pressure you're under, you're going to have passes like that.
Well, I got to tell you, Brian, you understand the psychology of football in the city of Philadelphia. A man won a Super Bowl for us less than 3 years ago, Doug Peterson. He lost a chunk of the fan base on Sunday when he went for a punt and went for the tie at the end of that overtime position. I'd like to know your take on what happened there.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot that goes into those decisions, and I heard afterwards Doug said, "Yeah, I would have rethought that." And I always love those questions after a game when you lose, and they go, "Well, if you know, if you'd have known you were going to lose by punting, would you have still punted?" Well, no. If I'd have known that, I think I would have made a different decision. But it was one, particularly at home versus on the road. There's different calculations you make. We saw that the other day when the Chargers, Johnny Lynn, and he's kicking himself for it. He made the right calculation to punt, but do you really want to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes with one more series? I mean, that has to factor in as well. Now, whether it's the fact that, okay, we're going to kick to a rookie quarterback and yeah, they're going to make a mistake and we're at home, so it's in our favor. There's a lot of ways that you can look at it to say, well, yeah, this makes sense to do that. But certainly in hindsight, it's got to be, no, that was probably not the right. And was probably symbolic of the fact of they're just not real confident offensively right now.
Yeah. I want to ask you about job security, Brian, because you won a Super Bowl in Baltimore and within a couple of years, you were gone. All right. How much job security should a Super Bowl championship buy for a coach and a GM?
Should or is?
Should. Right, both, but stop. How much should it buy?
It's like, you know, and I do my shows over the course of the week, and up in Minnesota, obviously, they're apoplectic about what's going on. And,
yep.
And this last offseason, Mike Zimmer got a new extension, huge extension. And I keep pointing out, well, all that means is he's going to get paid. Doesn't mean he's going to still be around, because these guys will fire you in a New York second when they think, you know, a change has to be made. And so, no, there other, unless you're Bill Belichick, I guess. Outside of that, I don't know that you ever feel really comfortable because of that dynamic that you know, the NFL is not for long. And those are the pressures. And when you notice in the NBA, I know Larry Bird from the NBA coaches feels like, well, you got about 3 years. Even if you win a championship, if you can't repeat it in 3 or 4 years, it's probably time to move on. You know, he believed that you needed that fresh blood. Well, you know, there's a lot of mentalities out there. And as they look around and they see the success of some young coaches that come in and all of a sudden have some success, it's hard for management not to go, you know what, maybe we ought to make that change, because it's hard. It's hard to hold that off. The teams that do it, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, people got to remember in years 7, 8, 9, I think Bill Cowher didn't have a winning record.
Right.
But they stuck with him, and they came out of it and ended up with the Super Bowl. And, you know, you got to have the confidence that it's the right guy to stay with them. But it's hard. It's hard for an organization when you go through tough patches.
All right, Brian, you won one in Baltimore. We won one here in 17. And now we're wondering if ours was a fluke. Did anybody ever say after the fact to you that your championship in Baltimore was a fluke?
Oh, yeah. They're constantly trying to diminish what you did.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's. I always love when they call me former Super Bowl winning head coach. Well, no, I'm still a Super Bowl winning head coach. You know? They don't, after a couple of years, yank that title away from you and go, well, no, you don't get to call yourself that anymore. You know, that's it's just one of those things that I'm, as I look back, you know, post career, like anybody, there's a lot of factors that go into winning a Super Bowl within the organization. A lot of people, a lot of unheralded people, but you got to have the comfort zone. I know exactly what my impact was on the organization, what I had to do with it. I was one of many that took us to that Super Bowl. You try not to listen to the naysayers that want to say, well, it was a fluke or you didn't deserve it or whatever. No, you win a Super Bowl, you deserved it. It's hard to get there. A lot of things have to happen, and you can never take that away from Doug Peterson. And the organization has to look at that, and Howie Roseman, and simply decides, you know, Mr. Lurie, the bottom line is I have a vision for this organization. Are these two individuals still the best people to deliver on that vision? And if they are, you stick with them. If not, then you make the appropriate changes.
Well, I assume our listeners right now are going, man, I wish I could get more of this Brian Billick wisdom. Well, you can. He's got a book out now called The Q Factor, and I'm sure it's all of this great stuff. Brian, can't thank you enough. Good luck with the book. Sounds great.
By the way, it comes out in audio as well. I want you to buy the audio because I want you to have to sit in your car and listen to me for about 10, 15 hours straight.
Fine. I'll do it, Brian. I'll do it. I love you, man. Thanks, buddy.
I read the book, and the interesting part about it is the book starts out, and it kind of grabs you from the beginning. There was a great quarterback once. Everybody raved about him, all this kind of stuff, and then it was injuries, setbacks, and interceptions. And his name was Archie Manning.
Wow. Archie Manning.
You remember how great he was.
Yes, I mean, he was.
But
no, Rhea,
but he labored,
I'm telling you, right now at this moment in time, I have lost faith in Carson Wentz. I've lost it. Yeah. I did. I really believe if you said
to
me,
coach.
Where's the moment? Where's the moment I'm going to say when Miles Sanders is running down the sideline and he can't hit him? Because from what I understand, they practiced that play repeatedly during the week, and he hit that throw just about every time.
Yeah, and was people rushing at him, though, through that line?
All right. I don't need you to challenge a comment that I'm making, Billy. What I am attempting to say here is if a guy continues to fail me, I lose faith.
But I think he made a great point, though.
Yeah.
If you know you got that line there and these guys are rushing at you, you tend to probably rush. You tend to, I don't want to get hit.
Well, I don't think that Carson realized that Jason Peters no longer can move at all.
I think he picked that up pretty quickly during that game.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Peters was removed from the game on Sunday because of fatigue. You know, it looked like, Al, he was near death as they hauled him off the field.
Yeah.
He had no injury. He was just tired.
It's an amazing indictment. I can't believe the coach said that.
Yeah, no, he said it because it was honest. There's nothing wrong with honesty, although Al yesterday objected to Doug saying he should not have punted. And now you're complaining that the guy told me the truth about Jason Peters. Yeah. People, honesty is great. Don't suppress it.
Billy was a GM. He lied all the time.
Of course he lied.
I didn't lie.
Been
just
here lying for the last year or so.
Alternate facts.
Yeah, exactly. Ava, we got a new question now. What's the new question?
Which coaching candidate should the Sixers pick? Mike D'Antoni, Tyronn Lue, Doc Rivers.
All right. Now, the only vote that counts here is Billy's, and Billy has voted on Tyronn Lue.
Yes.
That's still our best choice. But you know what? It's odd to say. There's a scenario where the Sixers get none of them.
Oh, gosh.
Billy's telling me off the air, they're not that appealing a place for these coaching candidates.
Yeah, the Pelicans has got to be an appealing spot, right?
The Pelicans, if you
and
look
the
at them, they got Zion, they're young, and you know, the Clippers, they have those veteran guys, yes. I mean, their jobs.
And we got a guy who was a soft coach and two stars.
Yeah, well, the problem is you have guys, stars here that are entrenched in how they want to play. Same thing in Houston.
It's going to be interesting. Let's go back to Kim. Kim, I'm starting to stop you there, but you were complaining about something. What were you bitching about, Kim?
No, I was saying that Tyronn Lue will not come here,
nor will
Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers leaving means that Tyronn Lue will be the Clippers' new coach. Mike D'Antoni is going to come here, and then we're going to pay James Harden too much money beyond his prime.
But Mike D'Antoni would be a poor selection for this team. Do you agree with that?
Oh, definitely, but that's what he's going to come here because we clearly lend towards what Joel or Ben wants. And if Ben says he wants Mike, then Mike's going to be here.
All right, but here's the problem. I don't disagree with you, but if you bring Harden here, there's no way you can make that trade without including either Ben or Joel. Right, Billy?
Yeah, and then you got to hope that Houston will want to do a trade with you.
But also, the guy's making $44 million next year. How are you fitting that under the cap?
You've got to give up, you know, Ben, a couple of guys make the numbers work.
Wow.
But then you got to give up picks. And
he's past his prime, Harden, isn't he? Yeah. This is all a terrible plan.
But then also, you got to get more shooters because Harden needs space.
Kim, we are leading down a road to disaster with all three of our teams. The only one out, Chuck Fletcher, God bless him. I guess he hasn't been here.
Well, they're out of line, out of sight.
But we're
right
keeping
now.
With Philadelphia tradition when we do that.
I guess this so. Is, Kim, is, what can you still, not live without?
I can't live without music.
She needs music. And
God,
she's
Jonesy's
calling
not the judge.
A sports station.
Well, you can do
that's
both.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you know what, Al? Why don't you regale her with a night? Where's Ava? Ava, get in here. Yeah. Sing a song to Kim.
Sing a song?
Song.
No. Ava's got it. Ava's much better.
Just belt out a few lines here. And Kim just called, and she said that she loves music, but she listens to sports radio. So combine the two.
Take me out to the ballpark. There you go.
Take me out to the ballpark. No, you messed me
ball
up.
Game.
Yeah. I wasn't ready. I don't know.
You
have to be ready
at
all times.
Take me out to the crown. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I
keep
ever
going,
come back, but it's root for the Phillies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Bingo.
Go Phillies.
But they didn't win.
No.
Yeah, I know.
But still,
I always still say Phillies.
So it's a shame. Because they didn't win. Yeah.
I used to love that song, and then I used to sing it to Clark when he was a baby.
It's cute.
And one time driving down the shore, every time I stopped singing it, he cried.
Oh.
So after about 40 minutes, I had to call in reinforcements and put them over the speakerphone because I was losing my voice.
All right, but Rhea, all due respect, you're a horrible singer.
Horrible, terrible.
And he still enjoyed
and
your
he
rendition.
He still enjoyed it.
I'm going to say now maybe the kid's got a tin ear. That's all I'm saying. Could be wrong. 215-592-9494. We got so much show left. When we come back, I got to update you on Jalen Reagor versus Justin Jefferson.
No.
Because this is another fireable offense for Howie Roseman. He can't get it right. WIP Sports, I'm 817.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.